Chuck and Julie, bringing you the truth straight up.
I'm Julie Hagan, and I'm working at
an Emmy-winning former investigative reporter, a highly successful trial attorney, and publisher of a major Denver area newspaper. They've been partners as talk show hosts and in marriage, as parents for over 10 years, providing thought-provoking information, opinion, and entertainment live, local, and interactive. Everyone's voice is always welcome on the Chuck and Julie Show.
Well, welcome everybody. Chuck Bonnewell, Julie Hayden. This is the Chuck and Julie Grassroots Show, Truth Straight Up.
The truth straight up, with Tiger in the background here. Hey, a quick sort of programming note, just to address, Jacob said what happened to Monday's show. We had, well, not we, our son had a golf tournament that went long. So we were hoping to be able to do the show, but kind of at the last minute had to cancel it. So thank you, Thomas, too, at BBS, who kind of did some last minute figuring, and at least we rearran the other one. But in the meantime, I wanted to talk today, Craig Steiner, the new chair of, we'll get to Iran. There's all kinds of stuff going on and the Sunday night fights. That's kind of fun. But in the meantime, though, the new chair of the Colorado Republican Party, Craig Steiner, had put out an email basically telling the party, telling everybody that the party was essentially shut down. Britta Horn, as we've talked about previously on the show, and her personal attorney, Steve Klenda, essentially fraudulently conned a judge into signing a settlement or a judgment order, I guess a confession of judgment, right, Chuck, that said the party owed Klenda $230,000 plus 18% interest and gave him the right to basically garnish the Republican Party's bank accounts and all the money in the accounts until he got paid back.
What he did is, quite frankly, the Republican Party went in and said, wait a minute, you know, this has got on.
This is under Eric and the lawyers, right?
Yeah, this has gotten in all these ones. So the judge said, great, I'll grant you a stay. You just have to put up, you know, the bond for the stay. What the party didn't do, which, you know, I don't know why their lawyers do what they do, didn't tell a judge it's impossible for a party, such a Republican Party, which is a nonprofit entity with no assets and no real bank accounts, to put up a $280,000 bond, which is 150% of the judgment, and that was an impossibility. They just never told them.
Well, so
Steiner
just dropped the ball. Basically, I mean, Eric and the lawyers at least had a strategy they were working on, right? And given that he didn't have very much time, so he had a strategy they were working on. Steiner comes in and is basically so busy replacing people on his various committees with anti-opt-out rhinos that he just completely dropped the ball. And so what happens, lo and behold, Clinton, the judge says, well, I don't know what the party's doing. Fine, I'll sign your writ of garnishment. Klenda gets his writ of garnishment, takes it to the bank, and the bank freezes all of the money in the Republican Party bank accounts. And basically, there's a procedural thing, and I think it's coming up any day now. The party has the right to kind of once again try to say, hey, wait, can we put a hold on this? Or else the money just goes to Klenda, and he keeps garnishing. And Steiner acknowledges that. He said, you know, the party is, we have no money, zero money. And anyone who donates any money to the party while this is going on, while this garnishment order is in effect, anyone who donates money to the party.
It's scooped up by Klenda. Yeah.
It's scooped up right by Klenda. And we're told that some of the people that Steiner appointed to his new rhino committees, right, had donated to the party. Well, guess what?
You know, John Feeling in particular, John Feeling, who couldn't be more tight than John Feeling, contributed $2,500 after being made bylaws chair, and that went to Klenda. So
right, and so it's not clear what Steiner is doing. He's not communicating very well. We do know that his rhino stacked executive committee voted to, and this is according to Ray Garcia, voted to abandon the legal strategy that Eric and the lawyers had come up with, and so we don't know what they're doing. But I mean, Steiner points out there's not much we can do in 2026, if we have no money. No one is going to give us any money. And I've seen some people say, well, they should declare bankruptcy. They can't, right? I mean, they're not a corporation. They legally can't. And even if they could, Chuck, you can't have a garnishment order and then say, oh, guess what? We're bankrupt, right?
Well, you can. There are things, clawbacks and other things. But for unincorporated association, which is with the Republican Party, there is no provision in the bankruptcy code for such an entity going bankrupt.
And worse than that, it's like in a personal garnishment, the courts usually leave you some money to operate.
Well, it's statutorily mandated, yeah.
Yeah, but not so with the business. It's a non-personal.
The Republican Party. I mean, it's just Steiner. Just kind of like, oh, let me worry.
Whoa, right. Well, it's kind of like worry. It's even worse than rearranging the chairs on the Titanic. I mean,
when the Titanic is at the bottom of the ocean.
Right, exactly. The icebergs were crashing into the iceberg, and Steinberg's like, well, I don't want Chuck Bonnywell on that committee. I want a rhino on this committee.
And Dave Williams here. No.
None of the people who have, you know, and so I don't know what they're going to do. And a part of me kind of wonders, was this incompetence? Or was this by design? Because we know Britta, and we know there is that definite establishment rhino arm of the party that really wants the party destroyed. They don't want caucus and assembly system. They want open primaries, jungle primaries. And the best way they can get that into place is to destroy the Republican Party. So people say, oh, well, what's the point? I mean, I don't know. What do you, I kind of go with, I don't see how you could be that incompetent, right? It's we've been saying this for weeks, and people are like, oh, like pretending it's not going to happen. And Klenda, he made it clear. He says,
we had an executive meeting when I was on the executive meeting, and I threw a little bit of a hissy fit halfway through, kind of going, don't you people understand what you're facing? What's going to happen? You talk about, well, we can get money here, we can get money there. You know, all of it will go to Klenda unless you stop it. I mean, it's just, and so now the chair gets to appoint six people to the executive committee, and replacing the grassroots six, the opt-out six. And so, you know, four of them were probably rhino, two or three were otherwise, but that left the committee in charge of the rhinos. And so in executive session, they were supposed to instruct the attorneys, no, don't let go of the cases that sue Britta and Klenda personally, and you know, it didn't pass. So that's,
right.
I mean,
well, keep in mind,
we ought to have a list of those people, although you're not supposed to know. You know, they've destroyed the party, and how can you appoint people who are going to destroy? And quite frankly, Christy Fedora had two fraudulent proxies.
One she's from the minority
leader of the Senate, one from the minority leader of the House. She can't carry those because she's not a House member or a Senate member. Craig just said, no, I'll let it count. So that was the difference in the vote.
So, exactly. So here's the thing. I go back to, he rigged it for the rhinos. And the rhinos, and these are the rhinos, the same rhinos who had no problem with Britta and Klenda coming to this agreement that was going to give the party all the money, right? There was no, they were the ones who supported that, didn't have a problem with it. And so this is the same group of people who says, no, we're going to abandon a working legal strategy. And I believe that there's only 14 days. You know, I mean, the bank only freezes it for 14 days, and then it gives it to Klenda unless the judge orders it not to.
No hurry by anyone in the Klenda administration. They've got to panic, and they don't. Yeah. They just don't know what to do.
Or they don't care. I mean, I don't know. But let me, Chuck, you know, ask you sort of a legal thing. So I'm the judge. I have these two people come, Britta and Klenda. They have this confessed judgment. I sign it. The party initially didn't know about it because they did it secretly. So the party then finds out that this happened and starts filing motions, but they're kind of filing them slow. And I don't think you would definitely say this. They didn't do it, I don't think. And this is even under Eric as aggressively as they should. But in the meantime, the judge says, okay, well, I'll stay it for a little while, but you have to post this bond. The party doesn't post the bond, doesn't explain why it doesn't post the bond. I'm sure Klenda's knocking on the judge's door every day saying, hey, look, they're not doing anything. Give me my money. And the judge finally said, okay.
Well, apparently what they're doing is, you know, okay, I mean, this is where you're just walking, you know, after midnight. They kind of go, well, okay, you know, Treasurer, apply for some bonds and see if you can get them. And then we can tell the court that you can't get them because you have to have one or two things. You got to have money or assets, and we have neither. but why they feel so timid that they, you know, I mean, it's like saying 2 and 2 is 4. We have no money. We have no assets. You can't get a bond. And right. while you tell the court that, maybe in the background, you apply for some just so it goes, how do I know that's true? Right. And it's just a timidity. And also, you know, the Ray Garcia suit is critical for Clendon not being able to bulldoze and deceive the district court.
The Ray Garcia lawsuit, just to catch everybody up, that's the one where he is suing and claiming, which is accurate, that the party fired Clenda. So Clenda has no right to these legal bills that
he's asserting.
And he has to give him. Yeah. So, but Craig Steiner and the Rhinos that he's appointed say, no, we don't want to go with that. What do you think, Chuck, is the likelihood, though? I mean, I'm just kind of putting myself in the judge's shoes. So you've got this party. He's probably a Democrat judge anyway, so it's not like he really cares.
Not probably. There are no such things
as
Republican judges in the state.
Right. So he could really care less what happens to the Republican Party, and is probably happy
if
he's
mad.
So I've already signed my garnishment order. The party is dilly-dallied around, and under Steiner, the new chair, has completely dropped the ball on it. If I'm the judge, I'm kind of like, I don't know, this looks kind of wacky to me. Why didn't you guys bring any of this up when you had the chance? Why are you doing it only now? I mean, what do you think the odds are, if you can say, of the judge rescinding his garnishment order, or the judge just saying, hey, no, you had your chance?
I don't know. I think they're probably okay. You know, it's certainly if they look at the underlying facts, but it's just this what me worry attitude that's really continues for the Republican Party from even before Steiner. But Steiner is the ultimate what me worry. Well, what could happen? What could happen if you'd be absolutely broke?
I mean, and let's talk about it. And again, I don't know if this is by design or by incompetence, but it certainly seems to be working out in favor of the people who want to get rid of the caucus and assembly system and the opt-out system. You need money for those things. You need money to run a caucus and assembly. You need money to pay for the Zoom call for the SEC meetings. I mean, but we can't put it any plainer. All of the money the Republican Party has is now frozen. They have no ability to pay.
$31,000.
Right,
but at least you could pay a few things, and right. that other money anticipated to come in, no one's going to be, you know, going to go, oh yeah.
No, because Clenda can keep filing these garnishment orders until he gets the $230,000 plus interest. So there is going to be no functioning if this stands. And like you said, it's baffling the what me worry by Steiner. It's like, oh yeah, we'll get to that when we get to it. The fact that he wasn't on this.
We better appoint an opt-out committee. Yeah, a little.
Yeah, little. Yeah. So I just, you know, I mean, if the party can't pay for a caucus and assembly system, obviously we can't have a caucus and assembly to nominate candidates, right?
Oh.
It's like, so it works out very well. And on that too, I want to kind of talk about Craig Steiner, who assured us over and over again that he was for the opt-out, did an interview with Channel 7 where he, correctly explains that the main division in the party is the people who are for the opt-out and the people who are against opting out, who want, you know, the opt-out or open primaries, basically. The reporter, I think, did not know enough to ask Steiner which was he, but he did say, they said, well, what is your opinion on this Proposition 108 that created the open primary? And he said, well, he thinks the court should overturn it. Well, I'm here to tell you that is rhino speak for, no, we want the donors to control the party, not the Republican voters. Rhinos always say, oh, we're for the lawsuit to overturn the whole law, which the courts have made it pretty clear that's extremely unlikely to happen.
Well, the court said it wasn't going to do it. District court. Now you can put it up on appeal and they could change that, but that'd take years and years.
And who's going to pay for that? We have no money, right? And that's the other thing the rhinos did before under KBB is they just refused to fund it, right? They're like, and finally they said, well, if you guys can come up with the money, you can file a lawsuit. So Chuck, you guys did. We all came up with the money, filed a lawsuit where the court's like, yeah, we're not going to do that. So whenever you hear somebody say, well, I'm not for the opt-out, but I am for overturning the law, that's just a rhino who doesn't want to openly say, I want the dark money donors to select the candidates in a pay-to-play system. I don't want Republican voters to select the candidates.
Yeah, I mean, I suppose there's a few that actually believe that. But it is saying I'd rather have What it really is saying is that I'd rather have a system which allows unaffiliated, generally Democrats, to control the primary, rather than one in which the Republican Party, through caucuses and assembly, chooses it. You know, apparently, you know, we've got this weird four-person congressional grouping. I mean, there are only eight congressmen from Colorado. The only one we have some parity with the Democrats. And they're all elected by these open primary methods. And none of them think they can win in a caucus and assembly system. They think, and, you know, I mean, you know, then.
And they're probably right.
Evans and the Dignity Act, Jeff Hurd, and him betraying Trump endlessly would all come out. So they need, and same with wherever part of the party Lauren Boebert is in today or tomorrow or whatever giggle fest she's up to. So it's, and for people to understand what the difference between the opt-out and the non-opt-out, if you have the present system, which Democrats vote, you know, can just quickly switch over, or unaffiliated, you get very liberal Republicans elected. So you have Cleve Simpson, minority leader, 52% rating of Liberty Scorecard, F, not a B, not a C, not a D, an F.
Yeah.
And our principal gubernatorial candidate, Barb Kirchmeier, even lower, 48. So you get people who are really just uniparty. I guess you can call them uniparty.
Right.
Just
which is what the donors want, right? The donors, the Americans for Prosperity, they want the uniparty. And more than that, you know, as we keep saying, that they're going to be pushing for jungle primaries. So, you know, I don't know. I mean, I've seen some people saying, well, I haven't totally given up on Craig Steiner. I have totally given up on him. I mean, he's shown, when people show you who they are, you know, I always made this mistake when I was much younger and dating, right? Guys would show me who they were. I'd be like, oh no, I love him. I can change him. Wrong. You know what I mean? When people show you who they are, you need to believe him the first time, right? Again, he had to have intentionally ignored this garnishment order. There is no way. That was screaming in his face. That should have been the very first thing he did. The very first call should have been to talk to the people who were organizing it before he took over and said, okay, how are we fighting this? And if you disagreed with it, okay, fine. But then let's come up with a new strategy. Let's not wait till after Clenda garnishes it to try to come up with a strategy. Because now it's a done deal. Because you're going to have Clenda screaming, saying, no, it's my money. You gave me the order, Judge. They have shown you up until you don't get to, you know, you don't get to keep coming back and say, oh, wait, I just remembered I'm not guilty, right? It doesn't, the law doesn't necessarily work that way. And this is just too, I mean, who knows what the judge is going to do, but I think it's entirely possible the judge will say, you know, I don't know what you guys are doing. You had your chance. You didn't take it. Clenda's got this order. I'm not taking it back. He can take all your money, you know? And then, as Steiner said,
possible. That's certainly a possibility.
And Steiner said the party is shut down, right? Not even for all
well,
practices.
They all say, well, we said, you know, we ran on not having lawsuits against each other and stuff, except they ran the lawsuits against everybody. Now you've got to sue Clenda and Britta. And now they're going, no, we don't want to do that. I mean, you know, I mean, these are a ship sailing at night without lights. I mean, they don't know what they're going to be hit. They really don't. They're clueless. And I don't know what, you know, we had on this program, Ted Harvey, who we like, you know, but
who assured us.
What exactly is your candidate doing?
Right, right. I mean, the first thing you need is, I get the operators, all of those things need to be resolved. But the first thing, I mean, and everyone could have unified on this, right? Everyone would have been, you'd think, excuse me, would have been unified on the idea of not letting Steve Clenda take all of the party's money and
so.
Cripple the party. And I mean, like in his letter.
No, end the party. No, cripple it.
End it.
No I mean, money, no party, no money is no party. That's just easy. If you
right.
can't make a phone call. If you can't send out a text, if you can't send out emails and stuff, you can't reserve places, you can't have luncheons and can't, you know, you're no longer.
You can't pay your administrative assistant, you know.
Getting paid salary. Yeah. Yeah. Count on it there.
Well, and it kills anything that the party could do in 2026. I mean, because the primary is in 2 weeks, right? It's, you know, and then you go into the General Assembly, and granted, the party's not supposed to take an official stance in the primaries, but I mean, in 2 weeks, the general election starts. And right now, we don't know if we have any money. I think at the very least, the judge will probably not ungarnish things, right? I could see where the judge may say, okay, wait a minute, you can't take
it. I don't know. It could be anything, but you're, you know, if, unless you can be more convincing and a little more urgent, maybe that's the word I'm looking for, but just a sense of urgency. You know, lawyers have to have a sense of urgency when, oh, they already executed my client.
Darn, we had all these really good arguments.
Get to that Monday. I mean, wow.
Well, and again, you think of it if it were your personal bank account. If Steve Klenda were going after Craig Steiner's personal bank account, I have a feeling he might have acted with a little bit more urgency, right? He would have said, you know, my committee assignments can wait. It's like, you know what I mean? I know all my rhino supporters are banging on my door. And again, I go back to, is it incompetence or is it by design? And I'm any more leaning toward design, because I just don't see how you could be that incompetent to let that happen.
Well, I can, but that doesn't mean you give them any good faith to anything.
So obviously we'll be following that, and we'll keep everybody posted on what goes on, because like Steiner says, it doesn't get more serious. Hopefully they have a strategy. Hopefully they're implementing it.
Let's let Klenda and Britta off the hook. That'll do it.
In the meantime, the other thing I wanted to say is, one of the committees he did, after everybody hollered at him for being, you know, betraying the grassroots, Steiner did say, okay, I'll appoint Jeremy Goodall to be the head of the opt-out committee. I'm going to say right now, I believe that is an attempt to distract the grassroots. While he is busy trying to destroy the opt-out, he's going to let, because he doesn't have to worry about it till 2028, right? And he's only going to be chair for 9 months. So
you have to say that he, you know, Jeremy, and he will determine who's on it.
Right.
So you just get a mathematical split, and they're arguing because you have opt-out and anti-opt-out people on it. And, you know, it'll be frozen.
And it's going to be, to be honest, that's going to be a massive discussion anyway, is how will we actually implement it? He's like, so I want them to be looking at ways to implement that. Of course, we have no money, so it's not going to be, it's going
to
be moot.
Well, I don't know if he can afford to email us now. I mean.
Yeah. Actually, that's a really good point. I mean,
honestly, it takes money if you're going to mail it out to all, let's say, SEC members, much less a much larger group of party members.
Yeah,
generally.
I don't know when their MailChimp billing cycle is, but it's coming up soon. Yeah. So anyway, so we'll keep you posted on that. Don't fall for it. He is not for the opt-out. He is, you know, by saying, okay, we'll let you have a committee, whatever. But it's kind of like KBB saying, oh yeah, we'll get on asking the courts or asking the FEC about things, right? Then she just, we forgot to send the email. Sorry. You know,
well, we've had these Decepticons for a long time. KBB was more of the prominent one, with Ken Buck and all the way. And, you know, they always turn out the same. Unbelievable.
You know, Johnny says, Chuck, you crack me up. We here in HD5 have a Zoom meeting tonight. Will it happen? Maybe not. I think the House districts probably have their own money. The House district is separate from the party money. I don't know how that works. I don't know. It's going to be bad right now. Let's see. One thing the Democrats have to worry about is the Colorado Save Act collecting signatures right now. Let's see how many signatures they collect. Would that be, that's not for the November ballot though, is it, Jacob? I don't think they have time for that. Isn't that for a later one? Do you know? Okay, yes. Okay. Yeah, we'll see. I think the Democrats right now, well, here's what I want to talk about a little bit, Chuck, if we can, because you and Peter Boyles was in at the paper today writing his column. Peter Boyles is a massive UFC MMA fan, loved the Sunday night fights at the White House.
He hates Trump or doesn't like Trump, but boy, he loved the fight.
Right, exactly. And here's the thing, and the liberal people melting down, it's kind of funny, but I wanted to play, this is, so the typical Democrat fashion, and I think they did it just to get some publicity. So Jane Fonda, who's a million years old, and Bette Midler, and I saw...
Was almost a million years old.
Yeah, Yeah, held an alternate thing, fake featuring drag shows. I mean, everything really Americans don't like, right? And they did it. And I wanted to play, so Bette Midler, I don't know if she wrote this song, but it just kind of cracks me up. The Democrats don't get anymore that they're the ones who are fascists, but they still call everybody names. Doug, if we could please play the Bette Midler soundbite. This is from their alternate event.
All you fascists bound to lose. You're bound to lose. You fascists bound to lose. Hey there, all you fascists. Let me put you straight. When you come for the rest of us, we'll fight you at the gate and you will lose. You fascists bound to lose.
And here's the thing. They're the fascists. They're the ones, so they're opposed. They're people elected Trump, and the Democrats' position
bring on the drag queens, those old.
I don't.
Days. Wow.
Yeah. Well, wow. Exactly. And all those people, they need to be on a Zimpiak. I just am saying they need to set up booths or something there. But I mean, the Democrats are the ones who they are opposed to everything that people voted for. And their position is if you don't vote for the stuff we tell you to vote for, then you're a fascist. And we don't have to do what you say. If we don't like the laws that you pass, we just don't have to obey them. And if you don't like it, you're the fascist. It's, you know, I mean, everything that the American people, the majority of the American people have said they're for, the Democrats are against. And they're like, so we don't have to follow those laws. And if you disagree with us, you're a fascist. I mean, they're the ones who shut the government down. They're the ones who ordered people to get shots that injured them for COVID. They're the ones who destroyed, you know, lives and businesses. And yet they are so clueless. They write these, oh, you're fascist, you know. I mean, what did you make of the whole Sunday night fights?
Well, I was, and Peter's pretty cheap. He paid for the fight. You know, we don't get Paramount Plus. And I feel bad now that I didn't buy it. Because apparently people said the last fight is the best fight he's ever seen. He's seen lots of fights. So I kind of missed it. And of course, the high point is one guy said, Michelle Obama's a man. And then that just Twitter pated the entire lefty universe. They couldn't stand that. And as Peter pointed out, he just got himself lots of fights. Because now that, you know, everybody want to go see him.
Yeah, as Peter pointed, yes, that's like a pro wrestling, like a publicity stunt. And I'm sure.
And the publicity, the Democrats, you know, made sure that everybody perseverated on. And, you know, because you kind of go, oh, she's not a man, is she? I mean, they promoted it so much that.
I thought Michelle Macron was a man.
Michelle's a man.
It's one of those things. It was a happy celebration. It was festive. It was, like Peter said, loud and tall and strong.
Loud, yeah.
Very Trumpian production-wise, but it was really cool to watch. I had a conversation with another mother, and neither one of us knew each other's politics, and it was a pleasant and a mild conversation, and she was saying she didn't really like the fact that they had a cage fight on the White House lawn. And I said, well, do you watch MMA fights? And she's like, oh, God, no. I'm like, well, I know people who do, and they love them. And they were thrilled that they had it there. And I said, you know, I remember when I was at Fox realizing that, you know, NASCAR was the number one sport, you know, had the biggest following. I'm like, I didn't get it, but clearly a lot of people like NASCAR. So, and I was saying to her, so it's like, you know, look, there are tons of people who like MMA. Why should the president not have that, right? And she was like, well, I hadn't really thought of it that way. And it's kind of like, I think the Democrats have this elite, again, it goes back to that they're the fascists. It's like, hey, if we don't like it, then it's bad and it's stupid and it's, you know, then we shouldn't be doing it. It's like, if it's a drag show, you know, a drag queen show, like what Biden had in the White House lawn, and people baring their breasts and things like that, that's totally fine, right? But MMA fighting, which billions of Americans love, we can't do that, right?
Yeah, I mean, it's just amazing. So, I mean, in general, I think that was a big success for Trump.
Yes. Let's see. Johnny was saying when you said my client is dead, but we're still trying, that made him laugh. Let's see. This is from Jacob. CNN's Enten shows a generic House ballot. The Dems are ahead by only 5%, less than half in 2006 and 2018. Then he says Fox. Oh, Fox brought Roku so that the Paramount Plus will be free from now on. Somebody said Joan Rivers was killed because she said, that's right, Joan Rivers said Michelle Obama was a man too. That's right, we had fake breasts in the White House grass, and that was okay. It's just funny though, the Democrats, they just want to shut it down if they don't like it. And the problem they have is nobody likes anything they're doing anymore, so they just have to scream louder and have, you know, again, it's like the No Kings rally. It's all these ancient middle class or upper middle class or elite white people who are calling No Kings, No Kings.
Yeah, they're all baby boomers. I mean,
yeah,
it's a sad, pathetic group. And when Bette Midler couldn't get any, not better, Jane Fonda couldn't get anybody to come because all she had was Robert De Niro, I guess. How many thousands of years?
I think Julia Roberts was there, but she was.
Julia Roberts is the spring chicken among the group. She's getting 50 by now.
Hey, so anyway, that was kind of fun to watch, and I'm glad Trump. And I think there's a part of Trump that kind of lays awake at night and thinks, what can we do to make them all lose their minds again and have their heads explode? He goes, I know, a cage fight on the White House lawn. And they'll go, yay, that'll make their heads explode, right?
He's right. He was right. He couldn't have done that one better. Well, you know, Peter was pointing out, you know, they have some CNN person was, they had a Congressional Medal on in a wheelchair, and there were Marines who were all saluting him. And they were going, ah, the president made him salute him. And Peter pointed out, it doesn't matter who you are, if you're a general or an admiral, and somebody with the Congressional Medal of Honor comes by, you salute them. But
yeah,
not that they know it, MS Now or something.
Yeah, exactly. They have no idea of that. Well, then the other thing it did is it distracted people from Iran, because I wanted to talk about that a little bit. And Chuck, I have to say, after doing some research, I've kind of come around to your way of thinking. Initially, you know, I was like, no, because Trump has signed this Iran deal. You know, I don't know. It kind of looks like, okay, so theoretically, they'll take the sanctions away from Iran. Iran has to let the ships go through the Strait of Hormuz. But they didn't do the biggest thing that all of this is going to be occurring while they're negotiating about the nuclear stuff. And I'm like, well, wait a minute. The nuclear stuff is the most important thing. And because I was saying, you were saying, well, what did it accomplish? I'm like, well, theoretically, they're getting rid of the nuclear system. And it's like, no, they're not. That's not even the part of the agreement is they're going to negotiate on it. So I do kind of anymore kind of agree with you. It's like, I you know, I'm not sure. It's like, number one, you can't trust Iran anyway. It changes every day.
I really don't know what the difference between war and not war is. I mean, what are we doing? You know, it's a weird war. Even from the beginning, it was just kind of like basically Israelis go down and wipe out any leadership anywhere. And then we bomb, you know, some of the ballistic sites. And they, I mean, it's just a strange kind of, is a war, not a war? Who cares, right? I mean, the Iranians, you know, having watched all the brothers, sisters, everyone they knew get killed if they're in leadership posts by the Israelis, are not going to, oh, yeah, we got to be. We got to be very good because, you know, we wouldn't want our Israeli or American partners to be mad at us. I mean, you know, they'll be planning every scam they can.
Well, and not only that, it seems to me that one of the biggest issues in Iran is the leadership is very fluid, right? So how can you even be sure that the person you're talking to, you know, has the ability to sign the deal, right? They may say they do, but then the general will say, no, you don't. And now we're going to stage a coup against you. I mean, it seems to me that there are some hardliners in Iran who absolutely don't want this to go through. And I think they have enough. So I guess it's, you know, and if you're Iran, the only thing you want are your nuclear weapons. I don't think they don't care that the people are being pummeled and punished and the economy sucks, right? They're all fine. So I'm not sure this Iranian deal, what it really accomplished, except to kind of take us back to where we were before, only now we're going to talk about, I guess they agreed to talk about the nuclear weapons, which is a step forward, but it's like, but you can't believe them, you know?
Right, right. So, I was never one greatly opposed to the war, but I just have any idea. And the Israelis kind of go, well, you know, you gotta overthrow the regime. We can't let it stay in there. And Trump's going, no, we never said that. We'll just.
Right. Well, and here Leo makes a good point, too, because part of the treaty is, you know, that the United States and its partners in the region, I'm not clear what that means, will work to provide some $300 billion worth of sort of rebuilding and infrastructure. And Trump says it's not going to be United States dollars. We're not going to do it. So Leo says, which is true. So if it goes good, BlackRock will own half of Iran. Yeah, they'll own all of Iran. And maybe, yeah, like Jacob says, the first two regimes are killed. And I think maybe that's a thing. I don't know. Maybe you do have all of these private corporations, these contractor organizations, you know, saying, oh, this is a great deal. This is a great deal. And maybe Trump, that's his plan. He's just going to give it to BlackRock because at least you can negotiate with BlackRock, right?
Well, it's like BlackRock will screw them up. I mean, BlackRock's an awful organization. So
they'll take the nukes, right? They'll be like, now we have nukes.
It's the weirdest war I've ever seen or heard of or whatever. And now we're mad at Netanyahu because he keeps on attacking Hezbollah or Hezbollah attacks him. And, you know, Trump is finding out that altruism is easy to get into war and it's hard to get out of one, to be true. I mean.
Well, it'll be good if they open the Strait of Hormuz and they, and, you know.
I guess it's good.
Yeah. I mean, it's good for oil prices, right? And I guess it's good. And I think Iran is kind of crippled in its effect to block that anymore. So that's okay. But again, I thought the main point was to get rid of the nukes and or their ability to even continue building the program. And it looks like that's something that they're going to spend the next 3 months or 2 months negotiating. I'm like, well, why is Iran going to change its position? I don't think they're going to.
Well, and they always play the same good cop, bad cop. The moderates, quote unquote moderates, kind of say, look, you know, I'm all for you. We want to get rid of the nukes, everything else, but you got to give me some, you know, because all those hardliners. So, you know, just agree to give me $400 billion or something. Okay, we'll do that.
Yeah, exactly. And again, and it'll
go back. Yeah, they fell for it for the 15th time. All right.
Yeah. And then Jacob says if Bush had left Iraq alone and let the Republican Guard take over, it would have been better. Yeah, who knows? I mean, it's what history, you know, it's hard to sort of like you said, my client is dead. I'm still working on it. Sort of like if history, if you could rewrite it, it's not clear how you would do because you can't tell going forward. But I'm sorry, what?
Nothing.
Oh, okay. What about then? Jacob was talking about, or was it Johnny, about the primaries and the Democrats. You see all kinds of stuff on that. And I think there are all these various push polls and polls, and it's hard to tell what's what. But what did you make? There were a couple of primaries already this week. Did you follow some of those, Chuck?
Yeah, there was one down in Georgia. Mike Collins, who was Donald Trump's pick, prevailed over Jack Kemp's, the football coach, Dooley, or the son of the football coach named Dooley. That's great. That's very positive. The multi-billionaire Republican, I think his name is Jackson. He won his, even though Trump supported the lieutenant governor, although Kemp also supported the lieutenant governor, so neither of them managed to get it. So now they have one more boring, bland, rhino-esque, semi-Republican. Because in Georgia, you have to remember, there are no, you know, you vote, it's truly open primaries. You just choose whatever primary you want to vote in, regardless of your party. So Trump supporting, let's say, the lieutenant governor, well, that's going to help on the Republican side, but there'll be lots of Democrats that'll be voting in that same primary where they go, no, I'm going to get the bland, right, boring. I don't think we want any more businessmen. You know, it used to be the Republicans, that's all they ran. Now it's just kind of Navy SEALs. If you're Navy SEAL, you got to run for office.
Yeah, they're high. Well, you know, you look at, again, going back to the opt-out and what's going on here, it's clear that big, how do I say it, national level money is being thrown around to try to make, to try to protect the candidates that can and have been bought and paid for, like a Jeff Hurd, right? That's what they want to protect. They don't want voters to decide. And I think it's not just Colorado. I think, you know, we saw from sort of the vault that we've talked about, emails that have been released during Britta Horn's tenure, that the Republican, whatever, the National Committee, not the RNC, but the Congressional Committee, was playing hard in Colorado to make sure that the people that their donors wanted stayed in, right?
Yeah. So it's a, I don't know. I mean, it's, as somebody said before, Republicans are 5% behind, which is less than they were behind before, but maybe it's a different poll. But you know, it the sad part is that, you know, when you have these midterms, we got lots of Republicans, and I know lots of men who don't vote. They say, "Oh, I'm too lazy, I'm too old, I'm too something." And they wait till national elections. You know why they do that?
A lot of people do that too, though. I mean, when you look at the percentage, it is kind of sad. First of all,
Democrats all turn out for midterms, which is why we don't do very well in them.
Right. Well, we'll see what happens. The Democrat race, I think I saw Michael Bennett, they were spending, I think, $1.3 million in ad buys like this week alone. So that race
is one thing, you know, I would think that Scott Bottoms and our favorite rescuer have an advantage is that there'll be a lot of Democrats or Democrat leaning independents who would vote in the Republican primary and then switch back won't be, because there's some in the first. Diane DeGette is challenged by a socialist Democrat, and in particular Bennett versus the AG. I mean, those are important races. So, you know, they may not come and play in the Republican one as much as they do normally.
Right. I think, and you're right, and I think given that the unaffiliated voters in Colorado definitely lean Democrat, I think you're right. They're going to care more about that race than they are about the Republican primary. So I think you're right. That could, it'd be interesting to see once it's all said and done, how much of a difference that makes, right? I know, you look at Ron Hanks, who's the grassroots warrior in CD3 running against Jeff Hurd. Normally, like you said, it'll be interesting to see how all of that ends up playing out. I don't think that the Republican, and I'm sorry, Scott Bottoms, I just don't, Republican gubernatorial candidate can win in a general election, but it will be interesting to see how the primary shakes out.
Well, so. I mean, you know, you got, and of course, you know, the world is jumping on Victor Marx, and you almost feel, you know, you can vote for Victor just because it's so many of them are telling you not
no,
to.
No, I don't. You feel that way. You're just contrary. You're contrarian. I'd be like,
well,
no,
like
I'm not
like
going to vote
Scott
for Victor Marx.
Scott has raised a grand total of $200,000.
Right.
I mean, you know,
all of which is going.
An absolute chump change for Bennett or Wisner. I mean, it's, you know, that's nothing. That's nothing.
Well, and it is interesting.
As you
Victor
said
Marx,
one afternoon, they just did a $1.3 million buy.
Right.
I mean, you know, what chance the Republican, and all the, you know, the quote unquote Republican donors who used to be, and the Waltons and the Coors, and of course, Ann Schutz, you know, they all want the jungle primary along with Ken Thierry. So
yeah,
that's what we got to look forward to.
So they don't care. All right. Well, anything else you wanted to talk about?
Well, I'm sure there's tons of stuff, but I think we covered the really important stuff I wanted to get into.
Okay, perfect. And yeah, Chuck's got the paper that goes out too, so he's doing that. Okay, well, that will wrap it up for us. Thank you to everybody on Zoom. And again, sorry about Monday. We just had a golf tournament that went long. But we will see everybody next week. Thank you to everybody at BBS and on Zoom.
Take care.